Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, week 16 in the NFL. 2 weeks left this week and next week, and then we go to the playoffs. I am one of your hosts, Jimmy Traina, as always joined by the Grambling Brothers. After a week off, we told the listeners you were too worn out from the Lions-Cardinals game. You were just too invested
in it.
It's
a game. It's a Gary Bowl.
You needed last week off. So Gary's back. Gary Graham.
You were right. My senses were just so overwhelmed
yes.
with that game.
The Gary Bowl.
So happy to have Gary back after a week off. He is, of course, the senior editor of MQB. And as always, we're joined by his brother, Scott, the managing editor of DRF Sports Forum. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jimmy.
You weren't here last week. Do you want to say anything about Lions Cardinals?
No, I don't. I listened to the show.
I thought you were going to say I listened to the game on the radio.
I was going to say.
All right. Well, Gary,
I did my own broadcast for the game. And...
Well, we're happy to have Gary back. And,
the good thing is, I don't want to belabor this, but if both teams finish last in their division and they're pretty much going to, it means they're going to play each other again next year. So it'll be Gary Bowl 2.
But Gary thought they'd play this year in the NFC title game. All right, week
Super Bowl and Pro Bowl.
All right, so we have two Saturday games once again. The first one, Titans -10 at home against the Redskins, total 37. Scott,
it's just too many points, and I think it's that simple. When you have a total that's 37, it's saying that these teams aren't going to score a lot of points. And when it's such a big spread, I just don't see how you can lay that many points with the Titans. I know the Redskins have had four different quarterbacks the last four games. I just think they've gotten to the point where they have a game manager and they can keep this game low scoring. I like the points.
Gary?
I have no real feeling on this game. I mean, look, that's my big welcome back to the show. I don't mind the points. I just think Washington is in a position where they can't actively score. I think that's the issue. So, you know, whatever. Derrick Henry has two long runs, and all of a sudden it's a cover for the Titans. So I would lean Titans, but you can't like it.
I'm with Scott. I like the Redskins. I think the Titans should not give 10 to any point in the 10 points to any team in the NFL.
No.
And listen, Josh Johnson is better than Mark Sanchez, so at least he's in there not throwing interceptions, not being completely inept. I think if the Redskins can get 10, 13 points here, they cover with the 10 points. So
I do want to make one real quick point as I was listening to last week's show, and I'll say this because I did make this pick publicly in the MMQB Best Bets, but I was screaming in my car as you guys were all picking the Giants last week against the Titans. No respect for the Titans. People were looking at me. They were probably admiring my 2007 Saturn, but I was going nuts listening to this.
I did that, I think, before I knew old Deb Beckham was out. That's my excuse. All right, the second game on Saturday is a really good one at night on the NFL Network. The Ravens at the Chargers. Chargers -4, total 43.5, Gary.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. It's still tough to pick a Ravens game because you don't know exactly how teams are going to react to this offense. Chargers have been fairly good defending the read option over the years, and on top of that, they had the extra prep time coming off the Thursday game. This is a bit of an unfair piece of scheduling with the Chargers having the long rest and the Ravens coming across country on a short week here. So I like the Chargers. I don't think quite enough to best bet, but somewhere between unmoved and a best bet.
Gary? I mean, Scott, I'm sorry.
This was a tough game to call. I would lean Chargers in this one. I think when you look at who Lamar Jackson has faced, the defenses that he's faced, he's now facing a top 10 defense for the first time all season. It's actually the first defense he's faced that isn't in the bottom 10 in the league. So I think this is where he sees a quality defense that he has yet to see. Because of that, I do lean to the Chargers in this one. But it's a tough game. I think it's about the right number, and Ravens have a lot of fight in them. They have a solid defense, but I think the rookie quarterback going into uncharted territory is what makes me lean for the home team.
I like the Ravens, and yes, I am concerned about Lamar Jackson finally playing a good defense, but the Chargers at home are not the same team on the road. They're a completely different team at home, the Chargers. They just don't have the mojo. And I think coming off that Chief win, a little bit of a letdown. I like the Ravens' defense to really keep this close and maybe a field goal game. I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens snuck out with a win. Like I said, that the Chargers, I think, are like 1-6 or 2-1. 1-5 at home covering. So I like the Ravens. Sunday, 1 o'clock, we get the slate started with the Falcons giving 3 points in Carolina. Total 43.5. No more Cam Newton. Shut down for the season. Two teams basically out of it. Scott.
I don't have anything to say about this game. I really don't. There's nothing you can really do to handicap it. You're talking about a backup quarterback. I guess I would take the points because I think the Falcons are dreadful. But, you know, with Tyler Heinicke, I'm not sure the Panthers are going to be that much worse given how bad Cam has played.
Right.
They will be worse. They won't have the upside. But I'm staying away from this game.
Gary?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd lean Falcons just because I think the – the Panthers have officially given up on the season, obviously, with Cam sitting at this point. So we'll see. Falcons sort of would have given up on the season weeks ago. They rolled up 40-something points for the first time in a while. So, yeah, lean Falcons. But, man, what a terrible game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you go Falcons here because of the quarterback, but that's a stay away and don't watch. The Browns, hot Browns, -9. Welcome in the Bengals. Total 44.5. I am not sure. And, you know, I am firmly on the Browns bandwagon. I am firmly on the Baker bandwagon. I'm not sure the Browns have any business giving 9 points to anyone, but they are. They're giving 9 to the Bengals. Gary?
No, I agree with you, Jimmy. And I'm not going to sit here and say the Bengals are anything more than a really bad team, but they have some semblance of an offense with Jeff Driscoll, a running quarterback. They're doing some. It's not exactly Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, but they're picking up a little bit here, and yeah, I think I like the Bengals in this one.
Jeff Driscoll's actually been somewhat serviceable, but
it's a ridiculous amount of points. It's just way too many points. The Bengals lost by 5 to the Chargers 2 weeks ago. Last week they won by 14 at home against the Raiders. This is not an atrocious team. They're being treated like this spread as if they're the Jaguars here, and they're not the Jaguars. They're not a team that has completely given up, still have some fight in them. Driscoll's playing okay. I just don't see how you can lay this many points in a game like this. I'll take the Bengals and the points for sure.
Here's the thing about it for me. It's a ridiculous amount of points. You guys are on the Bengals. And here's what I would say. I would go Browns for this reason. Again, I've said this so many times. This was a whole season of the Browns getting the first win in God only knows how long. First road win. First time back-to-back wins. Now it's time for the first blowout. And I think they get it.
By the way, the last time the Browns were favored over the Bengals and won was October 2004. That's 29 meetings ago. And I'm not saying that to really factor into this game, but I think it's just more an interesting fact because it's not like the Bengals are a powerhouse of NFL. Like, if you're talking about a team like the Patriots or the Steelers, that's something different. But, yeah, you have to go back to October 2004 to find the last time the Browns were favored and won against the Bengals.
I just like the way the Browns have played after Hugh Jackson got booted. Greg Williams has them playing well. Mayfield's improved each game. It's time for the Browns to get their first, like, you know, their first 34-13 win. Let's do it here. All right. Cowboys coming off a shutout, giving 7 at home to the Bucks. Total 48, Scott.
I'll take the Bucks here with the points. Can't say I love it. I think the number's about right, to be honest with you. I do think that for whatever reason, Tampa Bay has been pretty solid against teams that run the ball well, and I think the reason for that is they're so poor against the pass. They'd rather see teams, if they're going to move the football, move it on the ground. They're actually 6-0 against the spread this season against teams that are averaging at least 130 rushing yards per game. Somewhat significant sample size in all this season as well. So I'm leaning Buccaneers here, but by no means am I, loving the pick.
Gary?
Yeah, this is what I went back and forth on. I'm leaning Dallas at this point. First of all, the Cowboys are 5-2 against the spread at home this year, which is nice. But the Bucs have not turned the ball over lately. They've had 3 turnovers over the last 4 weeks, and that is fluky. Jameis Winston is putting the ball in danger constantly. So for them to not have multiple turnovers in some of these games has been quite the aberration. I think this is one where he might turn it over 3 or 4 times and it turns into a uh, uh, Yeah, a very typical Bucks sort of hang around but end up losing by 15 type of game.
I'm with you. I think the Cowboys coming off a shutout at home now will be looking to do some damage here, and that defense is a very bad matchup for Jameis Winston and his carelessness. So I like the Cowboys a lot here, -7. The next game, the Vikings are giving 6 points in Detroit. Total 42.5. Gary,
I love my Lions, but I'll stay away from this one. It's tough. I don't know if the Lions are gonna play out the string here, whereas the Vikings are desperate. They found something in the run game last week with the Dolphins. I don't know if it's sustainable, but I don't know. It's tough to picture this Vikings offense, considering what they've been this year, going on the road and winning a game by more than a touchdown. But, you know, this is sort of that garbage time of year for teams like the Lions. So we'll see if they show up, but I wouldn't touch this one.
Scott?
Too many points for the Vikings going on the road, I think. A divisional game, I'll take the Lions and the points. I feel like, you look at Minnesota, 2-6 against the spread against NFC North opponents on the road since the start of 2016. So it's not a team that's been going in the division and dominating teams by any sense. So, I'll take the Lions here.
I have no feel at all for this game. I don't know where you begin to go. Maybe an under. I don't know. The Viking offense struggling so much, but that's a stay-away game from me. Next game, the Colts giving 9 points at home to the Giants. Total 47, Scott.
I like the Giants here. I'm going to...
not scared after the shutout last week.
No, I'm not. I know it's not like the Cowboys coming off a shutout where there's at least Dallas throughout the season has shown some consistency, and I kind of understand your rationale there. I wouldn't apply that to the Giants. I'm just not sure that this is a game where Indianapolis is double digits better than what the Giants are. I can't say I love the Giants, but I think with this number of points, with a team that has been, dare I say, outstanding on the road this season, and especially against the spread, they failed to cover that game against the Cowboys, and they're 6-0, I believe, right, Gary, against
that
the spread
correct.
Since
six straight
on the road. So it's pretty significant. I'd take the points in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing with the Giants last week, that game was played in rain, and they didn't have Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Gary, what do you
look? And even without Odell, I think there's something you said for Eli's inability to play in the cold and the elements. Mm-hmm. I realize he's been playing home games in East Rutherford for his entire career, but you look over his career, he's been a different quarterback in December when he has to play cold weather games. So he goes indoors for this one. Like Scott said, Giants have been excellent on the road this year. I think it's also kind of a good matchup for the Giants. The Colts are good defensively. They're not a great pass rush team. I don't think the Giants offensive line gets overwhelmed in this one. So I like the Giants hanging around here, and I like some points getting put up in this game too.
Yeah, I think the Giants after the shutout bounce back with their offense. I could see Saquon having a good day here against the Colt defense. And too many points, 9. I would take the 9 points for sure. The next game, this is a rough one. The Dolphins are giving 4 points at home to the Jaguars. Total 38.5, Gary.
Yeah, Dolphins. Like the Dolphins here. Everyone likes the Dolphins, right?
It's a rough watch.
Dolphins at home, 6-1 straight up and against the spread. That's 4-0 with Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, Miami Miracle is part of that equation there, but they would have covered that game anyway, even without the last play. So 4-0 with Tannehill under center. I don't know Cody Kessler personally. I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy. The fact that the league is not intervening at this point to get him out of the lineup, this is a travesty to play this style of football in 2018 where it's not even trying to score points. They have 21 points, that offense, in three games with Kessler under center. That's embarrassing. Even if you have a guy like Bortles who's going to turn the ball over, at least you have a chance to score points.
Can you imagine,
don't have that chance with
can
Kessler.
Can you imagine what Bortles must be thinking on the sidelines during these games? Scott, what do you got?
I'll give you a stat with Kessler here. One touchdown drive on last 31 possessions for the Jaguars.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, right? It doesn't seem fathomable.
If I remember correctly, it was an overturned on review touchdown too, so it was a close one. Wasn't that Thursday night game, D.D. Westbrook barely dragged that dragged on the top of the blades of the grass to get that second foot down.
Right, yes,
turned that
game
off early. I give you guys credit.
I have a vivid memory of that game.
Yeah. This is I like the Dolphins an awful lot here. I really do. I think that these are a couple teams that are playing for different things here. I just don't think that this line is big enough. I just feel like when you look at how inept Jacksonville has been, I don't see how you wouldn't be willing to lay anything less than a touchdown with Miami.
Yeah, I like the Dolphins as well. If it has nothing to do with the Dolphins, just bet against Cody Kessler. It's not rocket science. Yeah. Next game, the Patriots at home, giving 13.5. No Josh Gordon now. Coming off that loss in Pittsburgh, giving 13.5 points to the incoming Bills, total 44.5. Scott,
I like the Bills in this spot. I do. I think they've been a different team without Nathan Peterman, addition by subtraction. 3-2 straight up in their last five since they got rid of Nathan Peterman. The only two losses, they've been by 4 points each. It's just too many points to be giving in this one. And you know, I got to say, I like the under in this game as well. I think that
44.5.
Yep, that's the way I would go here, because the Bills are continuing to play, and they do play hard every week. So I think the Patriots win this game, but I think they win it by about a touchdown here, and I could see it being somewhere around 24-17, somewhere in that area.
Gary?
I like the Patriots, don't love the Patriots. They have covered a 5 of 6 at home here at this point. The Josh Gordon thing was interesting because teams weren't really treating Josh Gordon like a major threat in this offense. I don't know if it's necessarily a big downgrade missing Gordon at this point for the Patriots. So, you know, Patriots at home, I'll lean that way. I don't feel great about it, though.
I like the Bills as well, and I mean, I like them fairly significantly. I'm not sure their best bet material, but I like them a lot. I just think the Bills' defense plays tough. I think the Patriots here are scrambling a little bit. Gronk seems a bit slower. Now, no Josh Gordon. You're just relying on Hogan and Edelman. Now, listen, the Patriots will come out, and they'll screen you with James White and Sonny Michel to death, and you know, who knows, but they'll come up with something. But I just think 13.5 is a lot here. I actually like the Bills. Be interesting, too, to see, you know, Belichick's scheme, but Josh Allen's ability to run will be interesting against the Patriot defense. Yeah. He's not going to be able to complete a ton of passes, but he is a weapon with those legs. The next game is another meaningless one on the docket. Packers -3 at the Jets, total 47, Gary.
Like the under in this one. It's I think you're going to see a whole lot of Jamal Williams on the Packers side. I don't, you know, it's unclear what the Packers have in store for Aaron Rodgers here. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to play him. He's going to have a new coach next year. His knee is not, it might be healthy, but it's not 100% healthy. So I don't understand the risk of putting him out there at this point.
Right.
I think they just hand it to Jamal Williams a ton. I think the Jets are sort of, you know, they've worked some stuff out offensively with Sam Darnold there, and I think it's sort of a boring run heavy game that probably turns on a field goal late, so I'll lean Jets on this one.
I'm leaning Jets here as well. Packers have been awful on the road. They've covered the spread only once while going 0-7 straight up on the road this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they end the season 0-8 on the road. Jets do look a little revived the past couple weeks with Darnold there. Really should have had a better fate in that game against the Texans that ended up being a push. I do like I like the Jets here, not significantly, but leaning a little more than slightly.
I don't know where you go with this one, but I do agree with Gary. I like the under here. The Packer offense is just, man, it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. And like, and at any point, Rodgers could, you know, say, listen, peace out. I'm going to the bench, and what am I doing this for? So who knows? I would go under there before I go with a side.
You would certainly think he's not going to put himself in harm's way. And, yep, you know, that alone, with a guy who makes a lot of plays, covers a lot of deficiencies on that offense by improvising, you would think he's not going to be doing that quite as much.
Yeah. One last 1 p.m. game is the Eagles at home, giving a point to the Texans, total 46, Scott.
I like the Eagles here, and I'm a little hesitant to overreact to the whole Nick Foles stuff. They did look like they were like shot out of a cannon in that game on Sunday night against the Rams. Yep. Very impressive. Most impressive with the way that secondary played after being so horrible for so many weeks. I did not see that one coming. Houston, 1-10 straight up and 3-8 against the spread when facing an NFC team on the road since the start of 2013. I like the Eagles in this one. I do think that they can win this game by a touchdown.
Yeah.
I like the Eagles. I want to love the Eagles. Texans are 5-12 as an underdog of 3 points or less. That's straight up and against the spread in the Bill O'Brien era. I do wonder about the matchup here. Texans have had issues with the blitz. Deshaun Watson has not played well against the blitz here. It's really not what the Eagles do. And I think the Eagles might have maybe found something with the back end, with sort of changing things up, going more conservative defensively. I think that would play into the Texans' hands. So
I was going to say, how does that play against Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson
excuse me.
Would.
I meant DeAndre Hopkins. I'm sorry.
And DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, look, you're going to have to they have to figure out a way to double DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but you can do it a little more easily when you're not when you're sitting back a little bit more in the defensive backfield. But so I like the Eagles. I don't quite love them. I could see this as a game where the Texans end up putting up 28-31 points or something like that and sort of have a mini breakout here.
Yeah, I like the Eagles too. I said last week I thought Nick Foles would rejuvenate them, and I thought he'd come out, and there was something about that spark that he's given them. I think at home here too, you have the Super Bowl winning quarterback now in front of his home crowd. I've been waiting all year for the Texans. I feel like have been the luckiest team in the league with the way they've gotten some of their wins, missed field goal by the Broncos and a couple of other crazy things.
Jets missed two extra points against
right.
them. I know they won
right.
by seven, but that did change
well,
the dynamic of the game.
They lost 2 weeks ago at home to the Colts, and they struggled to beat the Jets big time last week. A late touchdown there, or else the Jets cover. So I wonder now if we're seeing now more of that evening out there with the Texans. So I like the Eagles here. The 4 o'clock slate, we've got three games. The first one, the struggling Los Angeles Rams, giving two touchdowns to the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona, total 44.5. This is all you need to know about how bad Arizona's been. The Rams are given 14 on the road, and they have been not good lately. Gary, your Cardinals, your floor.
My Cardinals, Cardinals corner. Yeah, I'm leaning Arizona in this one. There's way too much volatility to really bet it with any sort of confidence. But getting 14 the way the Rams have been playing of late, and look, the Cardinals, we said all year, Cardinals are talented on defense. They might not have been playing well all year, but the way this Rams offensive line is sort of sliding back, maybe regressing to the mean more at this point. Yeah, Chandler Jones coming in, and I don't know. I think it's a good time to be getting the Rams at home if you're the Cardinals, and I think they can hang around in this one. The biggest worry with the Cardinals is they're so bad offensively. Josh Rosen, I mean, I don't know if you take him off the field at this point because he's getting worse and worse every week. He's not getting any protection. But yeah, I think they can hang around in this one.
Scott?
I think 14 is the right number. I wouldn't know which way to go. I would not lay the 14 with the Rams, nor would I take Arizona really with in many scenarios at this point after what they did last week against Atlanta and coming off the Gary Bowl loss. You could see them not being motivated.
They were deflated.
They were. Both teams actually had let down.
<That's insane. laughs>
Both teams have had letdowns for the most of the season.
Well, it's like if you have to play another game after the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just it's tough.
Yeah. Over to you, Jimmy.
I there's no way on earth I'd ever bet the Cardinals in this game. I would stay away from it, but sooner or later I think the Rams are gonna have to have a 34-10 win, if not this week. When again, there's no way I'm taking Arizona. So if I had a lean, I'd go Rams.
I feel like part of the angle on this
Arizona
game
is so bad.
They are, but I would think with Gurley banged up, You would think, right, if the Rams get up in this game 21-3 at half, that you could just see him kind of, you know, riding out the string.
I don't think the offense is the problem for the Rams. It's the defense that's the problem.
Oh, I think the offense is a big problem.
Well, but I think there's enough there where they can get it together. You know, Goff is a good quarterback. They still have Robert Woods. They still have enough where they can put it together. Where their defense...
It's all relative. We knew the defense was bad a month ago when they were...
Now the offense isn't covering
it up. That's why I like this matchup against Arizona. I don't think their offense can do much.
You don't think they can hurt them.
Right.
That's an interesting angle to take as well. Yeah. If Gurley was fully healthy, I'd feel better about it.
Right.
Just because I feel like he's a guy that, you know, early in the third quarter, if they're up,
but that's one of the problems I think the Rams have had is they've gone away from giving Gurley the 25 carries in a game. They've been, and it's weird, without Cooper Kupp there, they've been thrown to even more.
I think it's significant. I think the Cooper Kupp loss is more significant than people make it out, because they have Cooks and because they have Woods. You kind of toss it out as like, oh, well, you know, they're still rich at receiver, but it has changed the dynamic of it. I felt like
Kupp plays a very big role.
Right? He played that kind of Wes Welker type role, you know, when the Patriots were rolling up all those offensive numbers a decade ago.
I mean, look, Andy Benoit, who I do the Deep Dive podcast with and the Monday podcast with, and as people who listen to him know, he is best friends with Sean McVay, and he talks to that staff a lot. The thing they love about Cooper Kupp is they think he's the best in the league as far as disguising what it's going to be between a run play and a pass play. You can't read Cooper Kupp and say, oh, you know, here comes a run, he's a good blocker as well. They think he has a ton of value in the run game.
Right.
And losing him was, you know, it's not only an issue for the pass game, it's an issue for the run game too.
Right.
It's the most underrated thing in football, I think, is wide receiver blocking in the run game. Just like outfield defense is in baseball. But anyway.
the next game, 4 o'clock, the Bears are giving 4 points in San Francisco to the Niners. The total is 43. I'm going to start with this because what the Niners have done to me the last 2 weeks is off the charts. I bet the Broncos in San Fran, -4, loss. I bet the Seahawks in San Fran, -4, loss. Third week in a row, the Niners are at home. Third week in a row, they're somewhere between a 3.5-4 point underdog. I'll go back to it again and take the Bears. Scott. It's got to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, I don't love the Niners in this spot, but if I had to play the game, I would take the Niners. I think there's something to be said for the fact that they're 7-1 straight up and 6-2 against the spread in December games under Kyle Shanahan. You look at Chicago, 1-4 against the spread as a road favorite of fewer than 8 points since the start of 2016. I feel like this is a field goal game. I do think the Bears, with their defense, find a way to pull it out. But I think it's going to be one of these kind of close games throughout. I do like the over in this game. I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, but I think with that relatively low total, I could see some points being scored here on both sides of the football. And that's the way I would go if I had to play this game.
I will say this. The Niners got helped a lot by the refs last week, so that's coming from someone about the game. Gary?
I don't trust the Bears on the road quite yet. I don't want to get swept up in it because obviously we're talking it's a very new team this year, a new coaching staff, young quarterback just coming into his own. Khalil Mack hasn't been there in the past. They've been a pretty bad team on the road. They lost to the Giants. They lost to the Brock Osweiler Dolphins. They lost to a one-legged Aaron Rodgers plus Deshaun Kizer to open the season. They should have lost that game in Arizona. Sam Bradford turned out with shaving points and turned the ball over twice in the fourth quarter to let them back into it. And then, you know, they beat the Nathan Peterman Bills, and they beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day in that crap fest game. I just don't trust him on the road. So I would lean 49ers in this one. I mean, look, Bears might just overwhelm him defensively, and that's that. But I would not trust Chicago on the road.
The last 4 o'clock game, the game of the day on Sunday, the Steelers, coming off that big win against the Patriots, go into New Orleans, struggling offense, even though they pulled out a win. They've won 2 in a row, actually. But the Saints are -6 at home. Total 53 with the Steelers coming to town. Gary?
I kind of like the Steelers in this one. I think I might be out on an island on this one. But I'm not buying into the Saints' offense being broken, but I do think the Steelers are a little bit better defensively than they get credit for, because they've had some – I mean, look, they're an up-and-down defense, but they've had some good performances. I think that's a lot of points for them to be getting with what they can do offensively, and I think they can still do – I know they haven't been great on the road offensively in the past, but this is an indoor game in late season, and I don't know. I think they have something a little bit better with Jalen Samuels in there as far as their diversity in the passing game. I do like the Steelers hanging around in this one, and a lot of points in this one, too.
Scott?
I like New Orleans here. I feel like when you look at the splits of what New Orleans has done in recent years at home, and you look at how Steelers have struggled in recent seasons on the road, and that includes over the latter half of this season where they barely pulled one out in Jacksonville, lost outright in Denver and Oakland. This is a whole different beast here. I feel like coming off the three straight road games that the Saints had to play at Dallas, at Tampa, at Carolina, that they come back here and get things right and really put the hammer down on the Steelers.
I like the Saints, too. I think that there's going to be a little Patriot hangover here for the Steelers. And the Saints, there's, again, too much talent with Kamara, Ingram, Michael Thomas. They're home. That offense will get rolling again. I don't think the norm is them, you know, being under 20 points. So I have a feeling the Saints have a big offensive day here and cover with the six. Sunday night, great game. Chiefs minus 2.5 at Seattle. Total 54. Scott.
Absolutely love the Seahawks in this game. I just feel like that this is a good matchup here. I think that when you look at the Chiefs in recent weeks, the loss of Kareem Hunt, I think, has been significant. I think it's made them, I'm not going to go so far as to say one-dimensional, but not as multi-dimensional as they had been in the past. You just have a lot going here for the Seahawks playing on a Sunday night. Loud stadium, not just a Sunday night, but a Sunday night heading into a holiday. Everybody's going to be lubed up quite nicely there. I think it's going to be extremely loud. And I think when you look at what Seattle has done in recent seasons in the role of home underdog, which hasn't happened that often, they've been formidable in that role. So since the start of the 2011 calendar year, this is a team that has been a home underdog 13 times. They're 9-4 straight up, and they're 12-1 against the spread in that role. I just feel like this is a spot here where Mahomes, as great as he's been, has just not seen this kind of environment and the way that this team can play defense in front of that environment. And you also look in recent weeks, right? You have the Chiefs 0-4-1 against the spread over the last five. Seattle 7-2-1 against the spread since the start of October. I like Seattle here.
Gary?
It's funny. It's such a game flow game that I don't feel great about it either way. I kind of like the Chiefs. I think if you're the Seahawks, you have to jump out early. If they don't jump out early, this one's going to get away from them. That, you know, they're going to have to run the ball 40 times and steamroll the Chiefs here. And if they fall behind, they don't have the kind of passing game that can, even against a bad Chiefs defense, they don't have the kind of passing game that can go punch for punch with Mahomes here. I always come back to Mahomes. I think about that game they won over Baltimore a couple weeks ago where they were beaten, they were out-schemed, they were out-executed. That was a game they won because Patrick Mahomes did superhuman things. Seahawks defense is good. I don't think they're on the Ravens level. I don't even think they're on the Chargers level, who the Chiefs obviously saw a week ago. So I think this is one where, you know, I think Mahomes can put up 30-something points, and I don't think the Seahawks can stay with them. But like I said, if the Seahawks do get out early, it's a different game.
Yeah, I don't want to bet against the Chiefs. I can't do it. But if I had to pick, I would pick the Seahawks. I think, listen, with a lot of what Scott said, they're coming home. Bad loss to the Niners. They're looking for the bounce back. But my biggest concern here, the Chief defense, I have a feeling this is going to be a big, big Russell Wilson night on the ground. I think they can do a lot of stuff where that Chief defense is going to be scrambling to keep up with Russell Wilson. I could see him a couple of little throws here and there, set things up. Their running game is good, And then I think the Seahawks, you're going to see Russell Wilson run the ball a lot because the Chief defense will be very confused. It's, you know, the Chief defense is weird. They'll come up with a big turnover. They'll come up with a big sack. But over the course of the game, they'll give up chunks. And I just think at home with Seattle at home there, that's going to be one of those, you know, let's make our season games for the Seahawks. So I lean Seattle. But I would never bet against the Chiefs. Their offense is too lethal. And then I guess we have to talk about this. Now, personally, if you don't celebrate Christmas, okay, you want to tune in to Broncos Raiders on Monday night on the Christmas Eve with the Broncos -3, total 43. Okay. But if you celebrate Christmas, no matter how much of a degenerate you are, skip it. Put on Home Alone. Enjoy the Seven Fishes if you're Italian like I will. But don't bet this game. Having said that, Gary, the Broncos -3 against the Raiders.
All of the family gathered around the TV for this one. I will say just real quick, because my wife doesn't listen to the show, there are a lot of nights where I can kind of be like, I can't really, you know, can't go to the in-laws.
I
got to be on call just in case. Yeah. And most of the time you can say, you know, just in case. There's no scenario in this game where something newsworthy would happen unless, like, John Gruden has named himself starting quarterback.
The only way I think SI would call you and say, if Gruden retired after, losing this game.
I'll be at my in-laws for Christmas Eve, and if my phone buzzes with, we got to get on this. I'll be like, nope, I don't believe
it. If we have a file coming in off this game, we need to rethink the way we run this website.
I'll just say this about this game. If you do want to bet it, it's two teams. They're still playing hard. Both teams are playing hard. I think there's something to be said for the Broncos just having young guys who are playing for their futures. That gives them something of an edge in this game as opposed to the Raiders guys who, I mean, they have so many veterans in the lineup, so many 30-something guys who must just be like, I just want to get out of my NFL career without another surgery here or something like that. I do like the Broncos in this.
Again, it's Christmas Eve. It's the Broncos and Raiders. Would you rather spend your evening with Jason Witten or Kevin McAllister? That's the SI Media podcast host of me coming out. Sorry about that. Scott?
If I had to play it, I'd take the Raiders. I'd take the home team here, just not liking the Broncos all that much on the road. And, you know, last time they traveled up to the Bay Area was just a couple weeks ago. And, Jimmy, you know what happened there. Yeah, sorry to bring that up. So, I'd go to the Raiders, but I don't have a ton to say. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. So if I had to play it, if Christmas was canceled and I had nothing else to do, I would go under in this game.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I said, listen, if you're out there and you need that fix, we've all been there. We've all been there. You need that fix, I'd go under. But again, go to It's a Wonderful Life or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something. All right. That wraps up the Week 16 slate, so that means it's time for Best Bets. All right, Scott, get us kicked off here for Week 16.
Yeah, I'll leave a six-pack under the tree. I'm going to go with four sides and two totals. I'm taking Miami at home, laying the points against Jacksonville. We have that at 4. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. That is correct. 4.
I am taking the Detroit Lions at home. I'm taking the points against Minnesota.
+6.
That's a lot of points. It really is. It's talking about a lot of points. I'm taking Cincinnati at Cleveland.
+9.
And give me the Seattle Seahawks at home.
Now, you're only getting 2.5 there.
That's
You need that hook.
Winning outright.
You need that.
No, I don't think
money
so.
Money line.
Yeah, I'm playing the money line on that one. And as we all know, the last time I best bet against the Chiefs, can you believe this? The last time I best bet against the Chiefs, I took the Jaguars in Kansas City.
Oh,
long ago does that sound?
I don't think I said it on the podcast last week. I think I said it on the line last week. In analyzing the Patriots, about the Patriots losing back-to-back games, the Patriots this year lost back-to-back games to the Jaguars and
Lions. Yep. Yep.
Just throw that out there.
Let me give you my two totals here.
Yeah.
I'm going under in the Bengals-Browns game. That's
We've got 44.5.
Yep. And I am going over in the Bears 49ers game at 43.
Yep.
Over 43 in that one.
All right, Gary, best bets for you?
All right, going three sides, three totals here. I am also doing Miami -4 versus the Jaguars here. take the Giants, get 9 at Indianapolis. And we had the Eagles at -1, correct?
Yes.
Hosting the Texans. I was on the fence about that, but I will make that best bet for the Eagles. Nick Foles mania here.
Yep.
My three totals, excuse me, is I'm going over on that Giants-Colts game. I think there's going to be a lot of points there. Over 47.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers-Saints, I will go over in that one, over 53. And under in Jets-Packers, under 47.
47. I've got 5 for you on the best bet board here. I like the Redskins +10 on Saturday. I like the Cowboys -7 against the Bucks at home. I like the under 38.5 in the Jacksonville-Miami game. So we all have the Jacksonville-Miami. You guys have side. I have a total there. I'm going to go Bears -4 at San Francisco for the third week in a row. I'm betting against San Francisco as home underdogs. And my fifth pick, last but not least, the Bills +13.5 at New England. So that wraps up week 16. We will be here for week 17 next week. And we appreciate you listening. For everyone out there celebrating Christmas, have a very, very Merry Christmas. Be safe. Enjoy the family time. Enjoy the NFL. Enjoy the wagers. And we'll see you next week on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Have a profitable holiday, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.